نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح الصورة والسلفير around the conquest of Khaybar. There are other reports, but the report that is more authentic is that around the conquest of Khaybar, that is before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. It was an occasion of great joy, cheer. Allah Ta'ala is telling you in advance that there's going to be a major victory and assistance. So this is around the 60 of the Hijrat, and then in the 8th year was the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. So the 8th year is just 2 years before Rasulullah Paksam leaving the world. So that means 21 years of hard work and struggle, and then came the announcement of the conquest. So it's a lesson for us. After Nubuwwat, it was just 23 years. 21 years of struggle. And after the 21 years of struggle, now the news of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah has been received. So what we understand is, we don't rush to see results. We hear of some tragedy, some calamity, some brothers are struck, whatever, and then we begin to say, Mata Nasrullah, when will the help of Allah Ta'ala come? Here, the personality that we hold in the highest respect, he and the noblest of companions, Sahaba Kiram, struggling for 21 years. And just 2 years before the departure, the news comes, Iza Ja'a Nasrullah. Abbas had wept bitterly when this verse was revealed. So the Sahaba Kiram were astonished. It was a time, it was an occasion to cheer, to celebrate. And this man is crying. What's going on? So Abbas explained that there is a subtle message of the departure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because when the news has come of conquest and assistance, and people are coming in crowds into Islam, it marks the end or the culmination of the mission. The mission has ended. So when the mission has ended, then he must come back to Allah Ta'ala. And Rasulullah agreed that what he's saying is right. There's a subtle message. It's a signal. Now, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. So crowds of people began to pour into Medina Munawwara. Over 700 people came in from Yemen. Now, it is very, very important that we see these surahs, the sequence, the revelation, what happened around the time, our understanding grows. So before the surah is Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, and after the surah is Tabbat Yada. So when this conquest is going to come, then obviously the wrong forces will all perish. Tabbat Yada, all will perish. So this will come, and then in the waking, it's coming now, and the floodgates of Iman, of righteousness, of virtues are just pouring in. So when they're going to be pouring in, then the evil that's around, it's all going to be smashed down, all going to be washed out. tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Then you're dreaming of your wealth, your support, nothing will come to your assistance. So now the aftermath of the surah, and what was the prelude, what was the introduction, is Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. So this comes, and thereafter it is Aja. So now, then we look into the reasons for the revelation for the surah Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, and understand it in perspective. So it is the hierarchy of the Quraysh, As bin Wa'il, Uqba, and this type of Jamaat, right, that came to make some proposals to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The proposals were about three or four. One is, we are now a divided community, so let's all hold hands and be together. We divided, we are broken up. So now they're presenting proposals to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that how should we all get together. So what you do is, you don't talk about our gods, and then you are free to do what you want. We'll give you the free run to do what you want. There's not going to be any type of antagonism, no confrontation, and no animosity, nothing. But just don't talk about our gods. The second proposal is, just show some respect, just some consideration for our gods. Just apply your hands over them, that's all, we don't need much from you. And on our side, what we will do is, all the antagonism, all will end up, hostility will end up. We'll give you the control of all the finances. We'll give you the control of the land. Right? We'll give you the best of our girls. Right? Whatever a young man can dream about. So now this is in Makkah Mukarramah, right, say about 5-6 years or lesser than that before Rasulullah SAW could move away to Medina Munawara. So he's still in his prime, 45-44, that's the age. And then this proposal that we made to Rasulullah SAW, give us control over the wealth, over the land, the prettiest of girls, right? The whole control will be yours. Now, all we're asking for, this is what we're asking for. Right? We're not asking for something ridiculous. This is what we're asking for. Then we will be a peaceful community, no antagonism, no hostility, no prejudice, nothing. So these verses were revealed around that time. La a'budu ma ta'budun. And this verse is revealed, repeated twice. And Lama explained that I don't worship what you worship, and nor will I worship what you worship. Right? Present and future. And it's been reiterated that this emphasis, that you can forget about a negotiation. You are not going to be worshipping what I am worshipping, and nor am I going to be worshipping what you worship. So you're going your way, and I'm going my way. And it's repeated, right? The other explanation that the ulama kiram give is ma musula, right? I don't worship the things that you worship, right? And number two, I do not worship the ways that you practice. I won't practice, and I won't worship the ways that you practice. So the first made it clear that we cannot reconcile. These are differences that cannot be reconciled. You try what you want to, but we can't reconcile. So when I looked at the Quran Sharif, I saw there were two occasions where this type of mediations, where they tried to experiment this mediation, the kuffar. One is in Makkah, one was in Medina. The second is now the opening verses of Surah Ahzab. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu taqillah wa la tuti'il kafirin wal munafiqin. There they sent a delegation, Abu Sufyan, Ikrimah bin Abu Jahl, come and talk to Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this is what we want from you, and there will be no problem, no fight. We'll give you control over the land. Sahaba Ikram were very much disappointed, they want to kill them. And what they were doing, boycotting, being rude, being impolite, being aggressive. So Allah Pak says, وَتَوَكَّلَ Allah. Don't be concerned about that, trust me. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا I am sufficient. To see and to arrange all your affairs, I am sufficient. So, overall what they wanted is they wanted some type of a peaceful negotiation to allow peace to prevail in the region, right? That's what they wanted. We all agree on that, but nothing else. But the Quran Sharif came straight, no. So, we'll want to know why the Quran Sharif have a very straight approach. Clear, unambiguous, very straight approach. The reason is obvious that these are differences that cannot be reconciled. Because you want all to be on one venue, and from that one venue, you can do your thing and I will do my thing. You will worship what you need to worship and I will do what I need to do. So how can it work? Because the one person, when he is starting of his prayer, he's starting of his ibadat, he's starting it off with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, seeking Allah Ta'ala's refuge against the shaitan. So now you got all denominations and you want all them to be reconciled. You got a Muslim, you got a Hindu, you got a Satanist, you got an atheist, you got a Jew, everybody. So now you want to reconcile. Besides you is a Satanist, right? He's on that one platform and you are asking refuge. You're saying he's rejected, he's cursed. And this person is saying, dear Shaitan, I implore your mercy against Allah Ta'ala. Now, can both of them coexist? Can it be? Logical. Is it logical or illogical? You say you disgust. Inna shaytana lakum aduun, fattakhiduhu aduwa. He's your enemy. So treat him as an enemy. Right? And he's saying, he's my beloved. I'm treating him as my love. Now, can both of them coexist? Now, how do you want it to work? One person commences his ibadat in this way, that he wants everything to be absolutely clean and pure. The place, the clothing, the body, everything must be clean and pure, right? That's how he commences the ibadat, and that's how he ends his ibadat. And the next person, he commences and ends his worship with urine. That without the urine, his ibadat is incomplete. Without the urine, he can't get barakat, he can't be blessed. And now you just disgust it. You disgust that whole. He's next to you and he's sprinkling his body, he's drinking that thing. He's got it on his food, right? Now, can you coexist? You feel nauseated. The person that is normal, he wants to throw up. How can it happen? Can it ever happen? So it can't. One is starting of his prayer and he needs to have the holy wine, the holy blood, and he needs the swine to start off his prayer. He's next to you. Now, can you reconcile? Can you be together? See, swine, filth, dirty, concentrated, sewage, and I must be there. So, can you see that how that feeling, how that nauseating feeling will be? And now the other ones, once it's totally pure, clean, halal, no type of contamination, no pollution. And now this one wants it like this. Now how is it going to work? The one wants it in this way, that he's not entertaining any type of polytheism. And he's commencing his ibadat with that. With no polytheism. Because his whole iman revolves around La ilaha illallah. So he's starting off with rejecting and abandoning all. The Nafi starts first, negating. No other God but Allah Ta'ala. So you're starting off, no other God. La ilaha, right? That's how you're starting off. Coming into Islam, Ashhadu an la ilaha. Again, you're starting off negating, then illallah. Can you see how you're starting off your worship? In the Jummah khutbah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. You're starting off the prayer with negating everything. When you are raising your hands in namaz, right? So why do you raise your hands? So there's a discussion amongst the imams. What's the reason for raising the hands? Right? Imam Hanifa rahmatullah says, you raise your hands and then you say Allahu Akbar. You raise your hands and then after raising your hands, then you say Allahu Akbar. I don't want to get into the rest of the discussion now. It's not a class now, right? Just sharing this point, that why do you raise your hands first and thereafter say Allahu Akbar? So raising the hands is to negate, because the kalima first negates, it first negates, then it brings about this part Allahu Akbar. So you negated everything else, threw it behind, and then you made isbat, then you made an affirmation, confirmation, illallah. See that? So in your kalima, you're starting of your faith with this, negating and then confirming. Your namaz, you are commencing with negating and then confirming, right? Your khutbah, you are starting off with negating and confirming. And besides you, now you're saying that, you are saying very loudly, you're making a declaration that the access to Allah Ta'ala is with this negation and confirmation. You should negate everything. Everything else must be negated and then confirmed, right? Without that, you can't get the entry. No keys, can't move. Can you, without negating all the false worship, can you gain an entry? Can't get an entry. And you're serious about it, because you're starting your kalima like that. You first negate and then confirm, right? And you are saying it that without that negating and confirming, you're not going to get entry. And then it's been the way of all the Anbiya. Inni lakum nadhirum min ani'budullaha wa abuduhu wa taqu. Worship Allah Ta'ala alone. Right? Allahu Ahad. So, negating all the false worship and confirming the one and the only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So your whole worship starts off like that. Shadu Allah ilaha. In your azan you sing it again. In your namaz you sing it. When you're entering into Islam, you are saying these words here. First negate and abandon all, then you come. And if you just want a love without negating, that we are not interested in that. We love you, I have respect for you, all that. But you don't want to negate all that, then we can't have that understanding. How can it work? See, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the verses were revealed, first da'wi ma tu'mar and anzir ashiratak al-aqrabin, then he ascended the Mount Safa, and the same message, negate all the falsehood before an impending azab can fall upon you. First, see, now knowing well what's going to be the response, he's saying something and he knows that this is going to be the response, right? They're going to all turn against him, because they brought up, they born and they brought up, they soaking in shirk. Around the Kaaba Sharif is 360 idols, right? Now the personality gets up onto the mount and this is the first thing, Abudullah. And if not, then I warn you of an impending punishment. The whole message starts off like this, right? Now on this side, this is the way of the Anbiya, and on the other end, the starting of the prayer with Trinity, multiple gods, right? And without that multiple gods and Trinity or polytheism, they can't start off the prayer. So you can't start off your prayer with multiple gods, with Trinity, with polytheism. You can't start off. And they can't start off without Trinity, polytheism, and multiple gods, multi-faith. They can't start it off. So now, how can you coexist? Can there be a coexistence? Right? If there was a possibility of a coexistence, then there wouldn't have been any person before Rasulullah person to introduce this. But when he sends them Mount Tur or Mount Safa, it's the first message he gives. Nuh alayhi salam, an ya'budullah. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. In succession, you find six rukus from Nuh, then Ad, and then Samud, and then Lud, and then Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Right? In succession, one way, an ya'budullah, worship Allah ta'ala alone. That's the first message they're giving. And then the rest of it. Now, can you expect both of these things to coexist? How can they coexist? How can you? Now, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. This multiple gods, polytheism, etc. is the worst sin under the sun, the worst sin. Unforgivable, unpardonable. لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُّشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. It's unpardonable. Everything else Allah will forgive. So that means, when it's the worst type of crime, if a person died, right, he had iman, but for some reason, right, unfortunate reason, his body was covered in sewage, he'll still go Jannat. Inshallah, he'll go Jannat. So, this filth here is not so bad. But the filth of shirk is worse than that. لا يَخْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ. The doors of Jannat are closed. Doors of the heavens are closed. Everything is closed up. So the filth of the shirk is worse than the filth of sewage. But now, can you coexist with sewage? Can you? Here, man will still go. Right? Unfortunately, whatever he messed himself before he passed away, right? But he's going to Jannat. This one here, can he go? So it's so filthy that Jannat doesn't want to open its doors. Can you see that? How filthy this is. The stench, the filth, the disgust is so bad that Jannat is locked up. But now, can both of these three things be in one venue at the same time? Can they be? They're saying it's a no-go. And he's saying you must go like this. Then, again, look at it, right, from a different perspective. This style here, that one God, otherwise we're not prepared for any type of mediation and any negotiation, right? This commences, it's got its roots in Medina Munawwara. It's got its roots in Makkah Mukarrama. It's got its roots in Medina Munawwara. That's how Anbiya started. And this thing came up from America and England, right? That's where it came from. So this got its roots in America, in England. This got its roots in Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama. Ask any Muslim, where will he find his roots? Where he will trace his roots? Where will he like to be in the last moments? Where will he be? Where he would like? Where his heart is at all times? His heart is there. Now, you want to change the whole direction. Now, you get your roots, you get your information, you get your style from England or from America. So now, then why leave out Makkah and Medina? What sin did Makkah and Medina do that you abandon them and you're getting all your information, your direction from here? See? Is that fair? Is that right? The one is coming from Makkah and Medina, right? Undiluted, unpolluted, clean. Right, hearing the likes of Imam Bukhari and Imam Tirmizi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, they're coming in from where? They come from this land. They got the knowledge, they're coming to us. They've been in the service of that type of muhaddisin, that type of ulama, righteous people, right? That the level of piety was such, right? Level of piety, righteousness was such, that one goat got lost, right? Then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi found out what is the maximum lifespan of a goat. So it was brought to his information, to his news, to his attention, at about 23 years. So for 23 years he didn't eat goat meat. Because it's possible that it was bought by someone, it changed hands, it went to the next person, he slaughtered it, and he provided the meat. But now it came from this end. This type of people, so thorough. There is just a doubt about the money of Imam Bukhari sahab, not him. Is there a possibility that someone else will have a doubt about the wealth he's got? He went and threw all that money. For the respect of the hadith, for the respect of the hadith, that there must be no doubt in the Mubarak words of Nabi Sallam, all his money as a traveler, he went and dumped the thing. So this is one class of person, right? Now the next class of person is coming from America, tutored in that type of university, that type of environment, that type of tutors, teachers, etc. Right? The halal and haram is not a problem. Right? You show us the wealth and we'll give you the bayan, we'll give it to you. Right? So it's coming from this side. The wealth talks. Right? So it's coming from here. It's all commercialized. This is how it's coming to you. So can you reconcile? Are there differences that you can reconcile? Can't. Here we are insisting that you have to abandon all that to come on this side. And they say no, knowledge, understanding, intelligence, direction come from America, that brand, right? Now in that brand there are two things that are very prominent. Any person will see it, right? There's two things that are very, very prominent in that brand. One is the outer show, see, the gloss, the glamour, the show, right? That will be there, right? The gloss, the glamour, and the show. Number two, there must be some entertainment. So, to make it more glossy and more exciting, to appeal to the hearts of people, they'll have to have the gloss, they'll have to have a mixed congregation, right? And they'll have not only a mixed congregation, but the speaker also will be a mixed person. One is man, one is woman, and the speaker is like that, the audience is like that. So this type of environment they love. See, why? It's got some gloss, it's got excitement, it's got some type of entertainment, so they will like that. Right? Now this is the pure way of the kuffar. In the words of the Quran, اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا. Just look at the words of the Quran repeatedly and you'll get an understanding. Their whole deen is just entertainment and sport. Entertainment, excitement, entertainment. So they have transformed the whole religion into entertainment and show. So if that thing is flushed out of entertainment and show, then it doesn't have an appeal. But as long as it's got the appeal, the entertainment, the show, the glamour, then people rush to go there, pay millions to go there. Right? See that? But you see the two worlds apart. Right? This is void of all that, and this has to have all that filled for it to exist. This, we don't want that. We don't want that show, we don't want that entertainment, we want it pure, coming from Madina Munawara, the brand of Madina Munawara. And this, they wanted the show, they want the show, and they want an American brand, an English brand. Please, by the music, please. We're talking against all these things here. For the sake of Allah, respect the masjid. And this thing must be deleted from the phone permanently. Otherwise, don't bring the phone, don't have the phone. So you see the poles apart, right? Then, over and above all that, right? Over and all what he said, right? Every day you're making a promise to Allah Ta'ala. Every day you are making a promise to Allah Ta'ala just before you retiring to sleep. In your witr namaz, you're saying, Nakhla'u wa natruku may yafchuk. Allah Ta'ala, I abandon. I leave those people that violate your commands. Right? The biggest sin and the smaller sin, but those that violate your command, then I abandon them. Now, Can you be buddies with them, dine with them, enjoy with them, happy with them? Can you do that? Can you ever do that? When you made a promise with Allah Ta'ala, نَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Right? Now, for us to understand this concept, right? Just think for a moment, right? Be fair, be unprejudiced, right? Just for a moment, right? Wear a t-shirt with up the Gaza, right? And down the Israel, and go to the American embassy and see if they give you a visa. See that? And on the contrary, if you write down the Gaza and up the Israel, straight away they'll give it to you. So if it was that, you know, you are free, religion is a free enterprise, and you can't have a dogmatic approach, so why this type of a selective approach? Here, there's one approach, here is another approach. But you see, it can't reconcile. They know it, we know it, right? On the one side, I'm showing you the disparity, diversity, I'm showing you, to open our brains, right? One side, we are saying, there are people that are saying, gender equality, women's right, feminist groups, right? They're saying that, right? The same person that is talking of feminist groups, women's rights, then there are millions of women, old, small, babies, girls, right? That were butchered and murdered from Japan, moving on to Vietnam, then coming on to Iraq, then Bosnia, then Afghanistan, then now of recent, as present, in Gaza. Now, on the one side, you talk so strong of women's rights, right, that if some town or some country had asked women not to come to university, big noise, being cruel. And on the other side, now these women are being butchered, killed, murdered, deprived of basic human necessities and essentials, medication. That's nothing. And then the irony is that we Muslims, although we don't feel anything about it, we still sing the song of the same country, sing and have speakers coming from there, right? That are dining with those people. They're dining with them, they're sitting with them, praising them, encouraging people to be on their side. You have such type of people to come to teach us deen. You know, the simple example is, like you got Abu Jahl to teach your children deen. What's like that? Can it ever happen? You got Abu Jahl and Mr. Abu Lahab, and you all teach our children deen. Can it ever happen? It can't happen, it's impossible, it can't work. But now we want to reconcile these things here. So we left the Nabi's way. Nabi says, Kulu la ilaha illa. Started off lying, negating, abandoning. Then illallah. First you will have to abandon all that. Then we can join. And if you don't, then how can it happen? You're swearing, my mother. I say, no, let's be pious. Can it ever happen? You're swearing, right? You're taunting, you're swearing, right? Can it ever happen? It can't happen. It's impossible. It can't happen, right? And then, see, the conspiracy they use, the conspiracy is mass manipulation, media manipulation, right? Now they manipulate, look at it, right? So they'll do all this thing on that side, right? Everything, kill, so I showed from Japan to Vietnam to Afghanistan. Their hands are still soaking in blood, right? For the atrocities and the murders that they've committed, right? They've done all this, right? Right? African countries are being raped, right, with the minerals. They're raped and they rage them in wars. Middle East is raped for its oil, right, and they become the controllers. They become the controllers. They control the whole, all the assets. However they do it, they do it. But we know where this is coming from. Coming from here. And who's controlling, right? And yet now, these people have to be slaves to them. Can you see that? What they're doing to you, but you have to be enslaved to them. Slavery to the highest level. To a level, slavery at a level where you are giving a gift of a $400 million plane to this one. slavery to the highest level. Can you think of a slavery higher than that? Then you got your own daughters, right? Your daughters, you got, line them up, no scarves, right? And they are there to receive the head of the kafirs. Can you think of any disgrace worse than that? Right, so that's one picture I showed you. They slaughtered so much, right? And they killed and they murdered atrocities. Then on the other side, they got actors, you see, because they controlling Hollywood, so they learned how to manipulate, right? So how they manipulate? Now they got actors. They got a Teresa as an actor, too much of compassion, generosity, love work. They got a Pope to do too much of good work. So that's the cover. What we must work on? Love, kindness. And this side, they're killing so many people, that side is what they are doing, right? And the professional people are getting driven with them. Professional, not ordinary people. You're hearing a petition of doctors, so many writing about the praise of the Pope, right? So all these are actresses coming out from Hollywood, right? And they're giving this type of a picture. In the meanwhile, it justifies all the wrongs that they're doing, all the atrocities, whether it's Middle East, whether it's the African countries, robbing them of their minerals. It just covers it up. I said, oh, how good people, what the Teresa did, and Fala did, right? Can you see that, what's going on? So, can these things be reconciled? So, this surah was revealed at that time. La a'budu ma ta'budun. So, not now, and not in the future. No reconciliation. We can't reconcile these differences. You go your way, we're not going to go. We're not going to reconcile with you. Because we can see now how you operate. I'm showing you how it operates. Just open your minds for some moments and clear it up from all this prejudice and bias. See the whole picture. Right? See the entire picture. Right? Right? This person has to come to the Middle East in 3 days. 3 days he makes a business of 3 trillion. How much? In 3 trillion. See that? So they soaked in such level of slavery, right? Right. So the hadith warns you. Right. The hadith warns us. What it warns us? That you get into this line. إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْإِنَا. You only worried about wealth and your personal gain. Ina has got an whole explanation, but I'm just, for your convenience, I'm giving you an understanding. So your whole concern is just wealth. Secure your wealth. What happens to the next person? You're not concerned. So that's your whole primary concern, wealth. إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْإِنَا. Right? وَأَخَسْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرُ. And then you hold on to the tails of your animals, right? That's the main concern now, animals, your cars, etc. That becomes your primary concern. Vehicles, animals, that becomes your... وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And making that effort for deen. What? Jihad doesn't really mean fighting. Effort for deen. Effort for deen, not for two. One is to preserve the deen, like madrasas, khanqas. And one is like propagating the deen, like tabligh jamaat. So one is preserving and one is propagating. Right? So your whole effort is directed to just making money and your security personal. Right? Everybody is involved in that. I'm just concerned about my personal security, my wealth, my growth. Right? I'm not worried about what happens to you. My brother I'm not concerned about. My neighbor I'm not concerned about. Myself and my immediate interest. So I can make 10 umrahs in the year. But I'm not concerned about my neighbor, my brother, my uncle, my grandfather, my nephew. I'm not worried about them. So you see that personal progress. That person can rot, anything can happen to him, it's all right. But tabayatum bil-ina, right? Your farm, your vehicle, that becomes the primary concern. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And you leave all this effort. سَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ الظُّلَّ. Allah Ta'ala will put disgrace to you. Now see the disgrace, I'm showing you the disgrace. Right? Now, if you want to understand things in perspective, right, how to deal with the kuffar, then you'll have to look into the life of the Sahaba Kiram. Otherwise you can't get a fair picture. You talk a lot of things, right? American branded Islam. Islam that has been explained by America. It has been endorsed by America. So as though now they have got the right to amend and adjust the wahi. So you have to just take it how they amend, according to their amendments and their adjustments. If they say have a mixed gathering, you must have a mixed gathering. If they say that you must have an MC, as a woman must do it, right? If they say that you must have music, you must have it. Whatever they say, so that's the American brand. If they say you must have interfaith and everything else, you must have it. Why it's coming from that side? So they are going to explain your religion and teach your religion in their universities. And then you have to now squeeze the Quran and Hadith into their system. Now look at the Sahaba Kiram, and then you get a true picture of what is Islam. So I heard this from Hazrat Ji, Rahmatani, he got it from Hazrat Muhammad Thanwi Sahib, I've seen his kitab of Sabut, so it's authentic, right? Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, and he's invited by the Mahana Armani, king of Armenia, right? So that time, it's like the head of the Roman Empire. He said, alright, we are supposed to get into war, but let's negotiate some peace, right? So Khalid radiallahu anhu left with approximately 100 Sahaba Kiram. And now, these people are there in Armenia, the army is about 200,000. So they made a special reception for Khalid radiallahu anhu, Persian carpets and what, right? Khalid and just 100 people with him laid the carpets, Persian, studded with rubies and whatever precious stones. Khalid radiallahu anhu is going with his animal, and as he comes onto the carpet, he rips it off and sits on the ground, made of silk, so I have not prepared. So the king tells him, you know, I respected you with silk and carpet, but now you're sitting on dirty ground. So his Khalid's straight answer was, the earth of Allah Ta'ala is far more precious than this of yours. See the straight answer. So no compromise whatsoever. And in this type of brand that you're giving, how many compromises, how much of Islam is being broken, right? Now I'm looking at one of the world's main speakers on this side. So I looked at his speech personally. So he says to some Mr. Mawson, right? Speaking to Mawson, that we'll all be together and all that. And he says to Mr. Mawson, you come with your full faith tradition. We will not ask you to make any compromise, right? And see how you can influence the crowd to unity and muhabbat, right? So is that not a pure invitation towards kufr and shirk? Come with your full faith tradition. Come, that means come with Trinity. And the Quran Sharif is saying, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ. And here we are hosting the person. And he's about the main person. In that camp, he's about the main person. This Muslim leader, that is like the main person, he's inviting him, come with your full faith tradition and commit yourself to that. No compromises will be asked, right? And you come with him and see how you can impress people here. So, is that lighter than LG or worse than LG? That LG, if he's remorseful, he still gives jannat, right? If he's remorseful. Right? Yeah, it's worse than LG. But now, we are hosting such persons. And I got it in writing. So you can't turn away from it. What is in writing is in writing, so you can't turn away from it. Right? Now you see, when Allah Pak disgraces someone, then that disgrace sounds like honor. It's disgrace, it's filth. But Allah Pak has disgraced you. But you can't see the disgrace. You can't see the embarrassment. You can't see the humiliation. But Allah Pak has summum bukmun, has covered the heart. That's why I said, because those people that are encouraging or supporting it anyway, I feel they should repeat the kalima. Because you are supporting and encouraging such a person to promote his kufr in a gathering with Muslim and Christian, etc., right? But now, you're supporting, you're encouraging. I say, can your iman be safe? Now, Khalid, look at Khalid, he's coming here, right? He tore open the carpet, sat on the ground. So the king says, you know, I wish to become your brother. I say, yeah, straight now, say, La ilaha illallah. Again, start off with no God besides Allah Ta'ala. Negate first, and then confirmation. First, see that. then I'll be your brother then. He says, no, that can't happen. He says, then how can I be your brother when our blood we broke away from them? See the words, we broke away from our blood on the basis of iman. So you are a foreigner, how can we join up with you? See what he's saying. So this king says, the Khalid carries on, and he says, you know what? When the king refuses to accept Islam, he says, no, I can't accept Islam. He says, well, when I am longing to see the day that your head will be chopped off in the presence of Amir Mumin Hazrat Umar Adhila. One man moving with 100, no compromise. You know, he says, no, I must be tolerant. So this type of people will give talks, not be tolerant. So all their atrocities, what they're doing, they killed 100 people, 1,000 people, your mother they killed, your daughter they killed, your sister they killed, no, tolerant. So someone has to rape your mother, be tolerant. So is that the type of speech that is to be given? We must be intolerant to these things, not tolerant, intolerant to give kufr, disbelief. Right? So when Khalid Ran said so boldly, he couldn't hold his anger. He's commanding his army to attack. So Khalid Ran, look at his bravery, the power Allah gave him, the sincerity, what? With the sincerity you could say something. You don't try and imitate Brother Khalid. You need to have the sincerity, that type of faith, then you can imitate. So Khalid looks at these men, 100 of them, see now, don't look at anybody's face, throw out your swords and go for the kill. And we'll meet at Hawza Kawthar. Now that is called interfaith. What? That is called interfaith. That person must go interfaith. All these chamchas, they can't go. Whatever Muslim name they got, Umar or whatever, they are chamchas. This Khalid, he must go for the interfaith. Then he shows them the true picture of Islam. Otherwise, you're giving a false picture. Oh, we can be brothers and loving and all that. And then we said, abandon all the gods then. He said, you're speaking a lie. You were saying we can become brothers and all that. And now you say you can't until you don't say La ilaha illallah. That means he was giving us a wrong picture.